Welcome to the show, man. Jay Berna is in the building here at Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, St. John's University, WSU Radio. Jay, how's it going?
All is well. How about yourself, brother?
Doing all right. You're probably enjoying the weather. You're down in Miami right now?
Yeah, weather's pretty nice right now. Actually, it feels like spring break. It feels like a real spring break.
Oh, man, I wish I was in the warm weather. It's still cold here in New York a little bit, but in a few weeks, everything will be good.
You got to come, man. You definitely got to pull up, man.
Yeah, I definitely. Listen, man, being a Knicks fan, I do enjoy watching Miami Heat games. So I do enjoy watching Miami, though. That's if someone had asked me, Max, what's your second favorite team? I'd probably say the Miami Heat. I think they got a really dope logo.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty cool. Pretty cool. I mean, oh, man. I love the Heat, man.
Yeah.
We went through a couple logos. And, man, I'm actually, Victor Oladipo's coming through, switching up the lineup now. So I think it's going to help us a lot more because the Nets are very stacked. So,
yeah. Tell me about it, being a Knicks fan.
Yeah, I know that could be, woo. Oh, man.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. I'm not a big Net fan.
But New York right now.
Yeah, New York is going crazy because the Knicks are still doing good, even though with not as great as a roster as the Nets are.
Right. I mean, it's looking good. Me, I ain't like the Knicks since the whole Van Gundy morning thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a crazy time. But it's an honor to have you here on the show today. You're making a lot of noise and you got to be very proud of what you're doing right now, because I feel as though, you know, since 2015, fear is a lie. I think you've been building up for what you're ready for right now in 2021. I think 2021 is your year.
Yeah, man, I'm grateful. I'm definitely grateful. Thank you for that. It means a lot because, you know, like I've been taking like a lot of strategic steps and sometimes I've shot in the dark and just working towards something, which is actually what's happening right now. And I'm just grateful for it to be actually in place because this is just all something that I wanted to manifest. So I'm just grateful that it's happening.
It's manifesting. And what did you do during your time in 2020? And it's something I often like to ask certain artists, especially the artists that are buzzing out here in 2021, because you must have did a lot of preparing last year because artists weren't expecting what was going to happen. So they had to readjust, make adjustments, and set forth a plan where they can succeed in this new music environment without concerts.
Well, I mean, that's really what it was. It was a readjustment because I had like this whole plan where it was going to lead up to, you know, multiple records and project and then just, you know, tour and that whole thing. And then I put out one song and then it was just like, hey, the world is different. It was just like for a month, it was just like, I didn't know what to do. And then I just had that, you know, we all have like, there was all we were doing, we're inside. So I had like that self-reflection time. It was just like, you know what? I'm going to just work myself through this and figure out the best way and the most safest way to work through this so that I can still obtain what I need to obtain. And then I know that other people aren't going to be working as hard. So let me just do what I need to do to make sure that I get everything in front of people. So
you came right out of 2021 swinging through at the fences with Game Time.
Oh, yeah. That's what really was supposed to be. Game Time was supposed to be the intro of like, yo, I'm ready. I know I've been like, you know, people have been waiting for me to do something crazy or like, you know, get to the heights that everybody feels I deserve. And it was just like, and it's just happened that way. So I'm, like I said, I'm just grateful that I'm in this space. So like for people to be like reaching out and everybody's saying like, bro, you're doing it. Hearing my records in different places where I've never been. And it's just, I'm just pretty happy.
Good for you, man. I mean, it's got to feel so great right now, especially in the time that we're living in with the pandemic, that you're thriving throughout it. And you're racking up some big features here, Trina, Fetty Wap. Who else is in store? Because I know you're working on an upcoming project.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple people, man. I already put the T.I. thing out there.
Yeah.
I got a record with Drummer Boy, legendary producer. There's a couple of things, but people just got to, when the project comes out, people are going to hear it and then they're going to see for what it is. The presentation is going to be proper. So I don't want to give out too many secrets, but those are things that are definitely in store and it's going to be, it's my best work to date, to be honest.
How's it going to be different because from Fear is a Lie, because that dropped in 2015. Now we're 6 years ahead into something new. So how is this project going to be different?
I mean, it's literally going to be different. My sound is matured. I've had a sound. I had my own sound then, but now it's like I'm very well based in what I want to do. I have it down to a science of how I record or how the records sound. Me and the producers have great chemistry. The records are all these records sound huge. These are big records. Like any of these records that are going to be on this project could have been records that would have took place for like what I'm doing with Jamaica. So this is like one of those records. Like this is one of those projects where from top to bottom, like everybody's going to love it. Like I can assure it. So I'm just, you know, I'm happy. I'm excited. And I'm like, I can't wait for people to hear it. So it's going to be very different. The thought process, the things I've gone through, I haven't really spoken on a lot of this stuff in music. So it's going to be well-versed.
Jamaica is doing a lot of numbers out here, especially on YouTube. You're already at 2.1 million. That's good. And it's going to go up from there because this is an anthem. It's going crazy out here.
Oh, man. And spring break and the summer have even, you know, it's like it's going up now. So, oh, man. It's gonna get bigger. That's what I can say. Like I know, like a lot of the times, I take this approach where I'm just like, all right, you know, it's out, it's doing this thing. But I feel like it's gonna keep getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to be like one of those like, this is my vacation anthem. I'm going to Jamaica type of thing. Like so, it's gonna keep growing, and I'm just, you know, thankful that people, you know, want to listen to me.
Yeah. And that's something that you take pride in. I notice is that you enjoy making people feel good. Cause I read that somewhere that it always made you feel good that people wanted to hear you rap.
Yeah. It's like you pay attention to like when you start rapping and then the crowd start coming and then you see the smiles on different people's faces. And it's just like the excitement when they hear something crazy. And like, that makes you feel good that you can, you know, put that emotion in other people. Like, so I enjoy making people happy, making people feel good, having something that people relate to that understand like music, you know, it's some type of therapy or some type of feel good mechanism. So I'm just glad I could provide that for people. Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that you actually used to be in the battle rapping.
Yeah.
Because you can really rap. That's the compliment I got to give you here because.
Thank you.
Because a lot of these rappers that you have in the game today, I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, it's all about being able to make good music at the same time. I get that. But I always want to see the skill in artists that they can actually do something with their pen and they can really rap. And that's something that you can do. And you hear it in Fear is a Lie and you can hear it in the new music that you're releasing.
Yeah. I mean, it's important. It's important. You know, I came up listening to like going back to listen to all of Nas, going back to listen to all the Hov, and then like growing up, like on the T.I.'s, I'm a mixtape Wheezy kid. Like that's the era of music that I embraced. And it was just like, I need to out rap this guy, you know? So like bars are important. And I feel like I can out rap a lot of people. I just like to make, you know, very great world music. So I love bar for bar, like that's me all day.
Yeah, and I can tell already, but you're making the anthems and that's what matters out here. And this is potentially the summer anthem for you right now, but I think there's going to be a record or maybe even records out there in the future on the new project that you're going to be dropping. There'll probably be more anthems. What's the time frame that you're thinking of dropping this new project then? Is it going to be in the middle of the summer, right before or after?
Right before the summer. This is definitely right before the
summer.
Before that, in the summer can coincide and, you know, correlate the right way. So the music fits that mode. There's some dark records on there as well, but like the grips of the whole project is definitely like big feel good music. So it's right before the summer so that I could be the anthem for the summer. So.
What's interesting is that the Jamaica record actually wasn't for you originally.
Nah.
That's crazy, but you did your thing with it.
The way it sounds now is exactly how it was going to sound for Sky. It would have just been a different voice, right? And then with the addition of Fetty Wap being on there. So, like when I went into the session, it was a session not for me. It was just a session, you know, we got to get something for Sky. Sky was there cooking up, great energy. And some months went by. It was just like, you should keep the song. And my verse is already on first verse for the initial joint. And it was just like, all right, cool. And then I get the call about, yo, Fetty said, send him something. It's like, I got the perfect song. Let's do it. I sent him to that, and the rest is history.
How long have you known Fetty Wap for?
This is a new relationship. Yeah. Our first time meeting in person was definitely at the shoot. Mm-hmm. So let's say about, like, this is probably like an 8-9 month, maybe longer than that. I'm going on a year that we've been like cool. It's like he's a good friend now. So
yeah, I remember when he first dropped that first album, and I remember a couple days after that he got in that motorcycle accident, which was crazy because he was doing a lot of numbers in Jersey. He was going up.
Yeah, he definitely was. I mean, he's pretty dope. Like, I've heard his album, like, that's about to come out. And yeah, man, working in the studio with him, because we have another joint that's going to be for him.
Oh, that's and fire.
His recording style and the way he approaches music is fire. Like, I've even was like, I gotta sit in the studio with you some more so I can learn how well versed you are towards, like, he has a science down to a fact. The way he records is like a beautiful process. So he's a dope person. His music is dope, and he has some new stuff coming out that's gonna blow the world away. So,
as well as you will too. I know that. We already heard what you did with Jamaica.
Definitely, Jamaica is the vibe. Me, Wap, Sky, and is, like I said, it's gonna keep growing up. Oh man.
I mean, BT Jam's already taken notice. Revolt's already taken notice.
Yeah, man. Oh man, the broadcasting thing is pretty dope. The radio, like, in the country, we're like at like 108 or 109 in the whole country. Which is pretty good for like a record that's like independently being pushed right now. And man, number 16 on iTunes pop charts in the US, number
8
in South Africa. So like it's doing its thing, like, and it just keeps on growing. And it's like such a beautiful thing to see while I'm inside of it compared to being outside of it. So like I know it's doing its thing and it's helping people. Mm-hmm.
I want to get into your independent record label, Black Congress Music Group. When did you start putting that together? And what was something that you learned either from someone or some piece of advice that someone gave you in putting forth this label?
Oh, man. I've always admired, like, the No Limits story, the Cash Money story, the Grand Hustle story. Oh, man. I've always admired the Rockefeller story, of course. Mm-hmm. I always admired rappers that started their own, you know, like, labels and companies, and just having like that ownership thing. And it just started off as like a crew in high school, just me and my friends going around calling ourselves Black Congress. And then from there it was just like, I gotta make this thing a real thing, like, because it got to a point where we weren't allowed to wear Black Congress shirts in high school, but people knew the name, and it was just like, I really could do something with this. Turn it into a company, started my own publishing company. And, you know, like, from there, like, in my space of where I'm from, there's like, you know, there's grown like directors that are in the industry, graphic designers, other rappers, politicians, like lawyers. And it's done so much for like a lot of people that I've grown up with, and helped other artists behind the scenes as well. So it's like a fully functioning company that I started with some peers, and it's going to be a bigger hub because I'm going to start looking to sign artists.
Oh, that's good. Do you have any in mind right now?
Yeah, I do. I'm developing two right now. So kind of wait, I want to wait until like I get them like really ready. So like the world is, you know, like, this is it. So yeah, I've got two artists that I have in mind right now.
That's fire. And if we had a Black Congress, I can guarantee you that the United States would be in a much better place.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
You never
know. I mean, that officer, now that the officer is starting his trial right now with the George Floyd incident, I want to see him punished, but it's at the end of the day, it's just, do you think it'll happen? Because so many officers have been let off. It's crazy.
I mean, I'm nervous that he's just going to go away and there's not going to be like nothing. He's not going to be reprimanded for it, which is like tired of being seen. Like, so like, if they need to make an example of him so that, you know, other cops that are doing wrong to people in traffic stops or on the side of the road understand that you guys can serve justice as well as someone who's doing wrong against the law. So I feel like he should be punished because, yep. I mean, we all seen it ourselves, yep. like right there. So like, what more do you need? If it was a walking citizen that was on tape, there would be no need for a trial. It would just be, all right, you did it. We see it. Here it goes.
Yep.
My personal take on that is that I'd like to see him punished for, you know, what he did wrong because it was wrong.
And something just to add a point on that, it's just, you know, because I've had arguments with family members, like cousins and stuff about it, because they have this mentality like that there aren't these wrongs that the police officers do in the world. And it's just like, there is, it's been happening at the beginning of time. And there really shouldn't be a disagreement on it. There's no politics involved at all. It's just strictly what the cop did was wrong.
Right. That's it.
Why is there an argument of what was
wrong or right? And it was wrong. So it's like, why can't we just, you know, just do right. Do right by the people and, you know, do right by his family and just handle it how you would handle someone who was not a part of the law. Like, just handle it the correct way. And I think a lot of people will have like that satisfaction of knowing that everybody gets treated the same way, at least just a little. Not, there's so much else that we need to take care of, but at least give the people who know what's right and what's wrong that satisfaction of knowing that it's not a lopsided situation here. So
I'm praying that officer gets life. I want to see him behind bars after what he did. I mean, it's only justifiable that he gets life for what he did. It's it was a tragedy what happened, and someone's got to be held responsible after a while. You can't just keep letting this go on and on and on. But just getting into your influences, I know Kanye was a big influence for you. If you had to pick one Kanye album, what do you think is your favorite out of all of his albums?
That's not fair, man.
It's got to be two or three. 808s and Heartbreaks, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I'll give my favorite and then I'll give my top three. Okay. My favorite is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I agree.
Favorite Kanye album of all time. And then there's College Dropout just because of the nostalgic of it. And then 808 and Heartbreaks based off of the melodies that were on that project.
Yeah.
Oh, man. College Dropout.
His first one. Yeah, that's the first one. Everyone loves that one.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Ye is a big influence. Love Ye. Got to meet Ye. I know people around Ye, but I haven't met Ye himself yet. So.
Yeah, and if you are going to meet Ye, I'm sure this is the year to do it.
Yeah, it's coming, man. I've been putting it out there. So, you know, if one of these interviews, he hears it, call me, yeah. I know. It's like a text away, low-key, but, you know, eventually it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. I could see you working with Khaled, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already in Florida.
We're in the same backyard, man. We had a couple run-ins. Not like work run-ins, but, you know, eventually – I feel like it's going to happen, honestly, because like we know like some of the same people. I just want to like be in a very stronger workspace where it's like it's a must, like, yo, come to the studio, you know, like those things. So I'm working, and then, you know, time is going to make it happen where I'm in the studio with Khaled. So
and Hit-Boy was making a lot of noise in 2020. I'm sure that's going to continue this year.
Oh yeah, Hit-Boy's dope. Hit-Boy's dope as hell, man. I rock with Hit-Boy. I was actually cool with still cool with Audio Push that was signed to Hit-Boy.
Oh yeah.
So eventually that'll happen. It'll definitely happen. We know some of the same people too. So when it does happen, you know, it'll be the timing. It just, you know, universe, you know, places people in the right time.
I want to hear the story about about T.I.
Oh, okay. You working with him. Oh man, so we got like there's some people that I know that are in this camp prior to that, but I'm assuming like when there's so many different people in the middle, things don't really like correlate the way they should. And I just reached out myself, just personally. It was just like, yo, I'm shooting in the dark, but you know, hey, I really rock with you, and I grew up on your first project. The King album was like, it's a fundamental part of my sound. Like, I told him this, and I was just like, yo, all I need is a 16. That's it. Like, I don't want anything else. I just need a 16 from you. And he just like hit me back. He's like, yo, send that. I was just like, oh, snap. I'm like, moving, running around my house, like, oh, snap, this is crazy. Because, you know, like, the swag, like, some of his rap styles, like, the way he approached stuff, his mannerisms, a lot of the stuff I picked up just, like, studying, you know, hip-hop, being a student. And, like, his style was something I really took a liking to. And it became a thing. He told me to hit him up, send the stuff, and then met him in Orlando at one of his shows. And we had dinner, realized we were more alike than we thought we were. From there, like, we were pretty dope. Like, he's a mentor. He's definitely a mentor. I actually spoke to him today. So he's a dope mentor to have. He's been walking me through a process I'm going through right now as far as, like, the industry. So
that's dope. Great. That's definitely someone that you want to have in your corner. And the fact that he's able to take you under his wing like that, that's big for you. And it just speaks about the level that you're on musically. And I'm sure that on your list of 16 bars is Jay-Z and Nas. You want them to drop the 16s on your tracks.
Yeah, that'd be fire. That'd be fire. Oh man, I can't wait for that day, because I'm gonna sit there and try my best to outbar both of them.
I think right now, and this is just based on my opinion, the year that Nas has had, I think it's gonna be harder to outbar Nas right now, because King's Disease went crazy last year. Jay-Z hasn't dropped an album since 444. Well, if you consider the Carter album or the Jay Electronica album, I guess you could say, yeah, Jay-Z did.
Yeah, but we know Jay-Z's bar pattern. So those are cool projects. I still listen to them, actually.
Yeah.
But you're right. Nas might be, but I'm going to try my best to outbar either one. Yeah. My best. I'm no melodies, nothing melodic. I'm going bar for bar with them. So,
yeah. I know you would. What was interesting, just reading online about your father being a limousine driver and driving for Marvin Gaye Sr.
Yeah, that was actually, so he was, it was actually his business, and he was living in LA, and he was pretty cool with a lot of people. Like, people would just come by the house, and I didn't even know who they were. I was just like, you know, as a kid, my dad has friends that are coming over. And then you just, as you get older, you start to be like, oh, that was who that was. And it's just like, I've meeting so much different people and not realizing who they were until you get older. It's like, it's pretty crazy. It's like 6 degrees of separation. So I just started to realize that I was supposed to be here. So yeah, my dad groomed me for a lot of stuff. He's been around the industry for a while. Like, things have changed, but, like, you know, the way you handle people, the way you move around the room, that hasn't changed. So
yeah. He introduced you to music, especially Zapp and Roger. That was that's a big duo.
You know something, man.
Yep.
Oh man, you know something. You definitely, it's pretty much where the auto-tune, the love for, like, the auto-tune comes from. Like, I don't use it as strong as them, but if you hear it, like, that's where it comes from. And then being the fact that I opened up, my first show was opening up for T-Pain. But those two,
that's fire.
Yeah, those two things were, like, fundamental, and my pops played a big part in that.
There's no other song out there that's like Computer Love, or even if you want to go to I Want to Be Your Man. Those songs are crazy.
Those songs are top of the line. Like, top of the line when it comes to, like, I don't think I've ever, like, people have tried to remake them, but it's hard to make those both records. Those are very, like, classic songs, like, before my time, but I understand the sonics in those records.
Yeah, that's legendary tracks, and I think you got some coming up here on the upcoming project. And man, I don't think the game is ready.
Crazy, man, it's about to be so crazy, and I'm so ready to, you know, to release this music, and we're just gonna keep letting Jamaica keep growing. We got another record called Life of the Party in the clip, ready to go, and this album is fire, so fire.
How many songs are you thinking about having on it?
We're in between maybe like a 9-piece or maybe a 12-piece. Just depends on what gets cleared and what we stay with, because there's so much music. I have like probably like 5 albums worth of music on my hard drive right now. So.
But good music, so, though, we know that. Yeah,
man, if it didn't sound good, it didn't leave the studio, which I doubt that. And that's why I'm so excited about it, because the music I've been recording, like, all of it sounds good. And I know everybody talks like that, but, like, I really mean it. Like, if I had to swear on a stack of Bibles right now.
You would.
Yeah, I would. On all this music sounds. It's fire.
You got one more song coming out, as you mentioned before you actually dropped the project. That's right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's
Life of the Party.
Life of the Party.
That's produced by L.A. Reid's son.
Awesome.
And it's a pretty dope record. Going back and forth with the post of the video, the mix came out right. We're working on that, and yeah, man, I pay some homage to Michael Jackson in the video and stuff like that. So it's a vibe. It's definitely a vibe.
Yeah, that's funny you brought up Michael Jackson. I was tuned into him last night. I was listening to Invincible. That's an underrated Michael Jackson album.
It definitely is, man. Michael Jackson's music for me is probably like the ceiling in my thought process. Like, I don't think there's ever been anyone that has made better music than Michael Jackson. So
I agree with you. How do you feel about artists like Prince?
I think Prince is dope. I think Prince is one of the people that we needed, because his thought process and how he viewed music and how he viewed life, is definitely something that a lot of artists started to adopting now. So he was definitely a mountain of a person to be involved in this world. So I'm grateful that people like him were in existence.
Mm-hmm. Now, and it's funny, just to get back to your side of music, you mentioned how Prince approached music. How do you approach music?
In that similar space,
yeah.
Where it's like being an owner of it and doing your own thing and not wanting to be in the lane with so many different people, and, you know, like being yourself, like, and actually loving the music itself, like the creative process and it being yourself. Like, when you hear a Prince record, you're saying, oh, that's Prince. Like, he did it, you know? So I definitely approach a lot of the stuff like how he did.
I actually had a great idea, and you may like it as well, because I thought about starting this freestyle series with artists. And, you know, you said that you can go bar for bar. I'm not going to ask you to freestyle tonight, but do you think artists today could freestyle on some 80s rap beats? I'm talking like Kumo D, early Boogie Down Productions. And
depends on the artist.
Yeah.
Depends on the artist. If the artist doesn't have a cadence that can go for that, then it may not work sonically, right?
Yeah.
If you know that they can rap, that whole 80s beat selection is going to be amazing. A couple people might choke up on that, though. Yeah.
Because I was listening to that and I said, I mean, the 90s, I mean, forget the 90s. People can do that all day. I want to give a challenge to MC. So if you think about it, you put them on the 80s beats, you're probably going to have a lot of them choking up, because it was like a nursery rhyme pattern, the way they'd rhyme back in the day.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. Now that I think about it, like, just going back on my research, hell yeah.
Like Ultra Magnetic MCs, crazy.
Oof. You know something.
Man. Oh, man. I love the hip hop culture, man.
I can tell. And I'm grateful that you do, because it's not often that, you know, well, it is often, but, you know, it doesn't get celebrated anymore as it should be.
Yeah. That's the thing. Every generation should be celebrated all together. There shouldn't be. That's what some of these radio stations like to do. And I bring everyone together. There's no, everyone eats at the table. I don't do what these big radio stations do. I think there should be time where we can give back to what the older artists did, because they did pave the way for Jay Berna. They did pave the way for all the other artists you hear on the radio now.
That's such a fact. And just being able to hear all this music, it helps. Like, it's just like a sponge. Like, you just get so much time. Like, as much as people assume, like, all right, what's going on? Like, I'm just taking in all this music and just researching this. I would take this, and then I would do it this way. Or, you know what? I don't know what I would do with that. Let me figure out how to flip it. Or, like, just this cadence was amazing. Like, something like that. Or, so it's just so much homework to be able to use in order to apply to yourself so that you stand out in your own way. So
yeah.
I'm grateful for hip hop.
Hip hop is the best genre and should have been the best genre for decades, and we're seeing it right now. Yeah, now it is.
Now hip hop is pop culture. So
isn't it crazy how hip hop wasn't in the 90s, and the 90s was considered the
It was considered like
the golden era.
Yeah, it was just like it's not gonna last that long. I've like watched so many documentaries, and people were like, "We were not expecting this to be this."
I know. and it's bigger than anything.
Bigger than anything, and I love it. Love to be a part of it. So it's dope.
No doubt. Jay Berner, is there anything else you'd love to tell the audience up here at St. John's, WSJU? We got Queens on lock here tonight.
Ah, man, shout out to Queens. Shout out to St. John's, man. When everything's open up, make sure that music building brings me out there. I'm grateful that you guys are listening to me right now. Make sure you guys tune in to, Jamaica, Game Time with Trina, and my album. Different is dropping very soon, right before the summer. Got another project called Bigger Than Life as well, dropping this year as well. So we're going to try to do like two albums 1 year, but Different first, and stay in tune with me. I'm gonna keep growing as an artist, and I'm grateful that there's people out there listening. So stay in tune with me.
No doubt. Make sure you follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Jay Berner.
JayBurna. That's everything. The Twitter, yep. The Instagram, the website, everything.
Yeah, stay tuned. He's got a lot dropping this year. And, we'd love to have you back once you drop the project.
I love to be back, man. I'm grateful that you shared your platform with me. So thank you.
No doubt, man. I want you to take care. Stay safe. We're going to be looking forward to the music up here. And we have Jamaica in the rotation. So once you drop the new tracks, they're going in.
For sure. And, when we get outside, I'll pull up to, I'll pull up to the school for you.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I'll talk to student government. I'll put the request in, too. Once we're allowed to have concerts again, hopefully, maybe next year, maybe the end of this year, we can fish you in.
Everything will start opening up in August. That's my
Thank God.
So it's soon enough. And, thank you.
No doubt. Jay Berner, take care. Stay safe. All right.
You too, brother.
All right, man. Peace.
Peace.